Hi, and welcome to the Church Unlimited podcast. Church Unlimited is a vibrant, Bible-based church in North Lakes, Queensland that is passionate about helping people discover the genuine love of Jesus. If you're currently looking for a home church, we would love for you to join us for Sunday worship. For more information about our Sunday service or to find out how we can best help you, head to our website at churchunlimited.com.au. We hope you enjoy this message from Sunday service.
I'm so glad to see you out tonight. You've braved the rain. I'm from North Queensland, as you've probably heard me say before, and it rains quite a lot up in North Queensland. And one thing I know about up in North Queensland, whether it's raining or not, people still use cars in North Queensland in the rain. Turns out in Brisbane, people don't know how to drive and they're either having accidents or they're just staying at home. So you've braved the rain. Thank you for coming out. Paula Snow was telling me this afternoon she wasn't going to come because it was raining. And she thought, oh, nah, do you know, I want to be in church tonight. So Paula, thanks for being in church. Yeah. Well, you Paula, a round of applause. Oh, dear, dear, dear. It's going to be a good night in the house of God, hey? If you've been with us the last little bit at church, we've been preaching our Church on Mission series. And so we've been preaching from Matthew 4, verses 19, where it says, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And so we've been talking over the last couple of months now about knowing God, belonging in his community, growing to be like him, serving him. And then tonight, we're going to finish it off with telling people about Jesus. And so I'm excited to preach on this one because if you know me at all, you'll know that I love people and I love talking to people and I love telling people about Jesus. And so I'm excited to be able to bring the word tonight about this. Pastor Dan preached on this also this morning and preached an incredible word about how as the church, our job is actually to tell people about Jesus, right? And how kind of our job as a church is not just to meet on a Sunday, but it's actually to go out. It's to, as we gather and then we go out. We gather together and we go out. And so if I encourage you, it was an awesome message this morning. So make sure you jump on podcast or YouTube or whatever it is that's cool these days and go and watch that. It'd be good. So I'm excited to bring the word tonight. I want to start tonight by asking a few rhetorical questions. So you don't have to answer these. You can if you want. If you feel the need to yell out, please just yell out, but don't have to. When was the last time that you talked to somebody about Jesus? Not talking about preaching, Dan. When was the last time you talked to a friend about your salvation who doesn't know Jesus Christ? I asked for it, didn't I? I said you can yell out. Oh, jeepers. All right. How did it go? Did it go well? Was it well received? Was it not well received? Maybe it's not something you do often at all or if you've ever done. Tonight I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you, and I want to convince you that sharing the gospel is not just something that we should think is a good idea, but as Christians, it's something that's a necessity for our lives. It's something that we need to be doing. Because I believe it's actually one of our responsibilities as Christians is to share the gospel, right? But many people have forgotten that telling people about Jesus is kind of like we think it's optional and it's not actually a necessity. We've got to kind of come to this point where it's like, oh, you know, sharing the gospel, it's something we can do, it's nice to do, but actually, in fact, it's actually something that, it's a responsibility that we have as a Christian. Let's put ourselves in the place of the disciples, right? And they did life with Jesus, and then they see Jesus get arrested by the Roman soldiers and beaten and bloodied and bruised, and then eventually, we see Jesus crucified and laid in a tomb, and the stone is rolled over, and then 3 days later, Jesus rises. Really, that song. Then on the third, now Jesus rises again. Right? Can you imagine being those disciples? And those 3 days later, you'd seen Jesus' lifeless body on the cross. Then 3 days later, he's risen again. I imagine all kinds of emotions were going through their heads. They're excited. They're scared. They're all these different emotions going through their heads. And then Jesus says, come on, we're going to meet on a mountain in Galilee, which is somewhere that they'd been before, something that was familiar to them. And so they went and met on this mountain in Galilee where Jesus essentially gives his marching orders, right, for the disciples. And so he stands on this mountain, and we're going to pick it up at Matthew 28, 18 verses 19. I think it'll be on the screen there behind me. It says, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. See, I like to envision this moment where they're on top of this mountain in Galilee and you can see all the nations over and Jesus got his arms stretched out. He's like, go and tell the nations about me. You go out from here and tell them about me, right? And I think so often we miss that part of it where Jesus is saying, go out and tell them about me. And we think it's just a great optional extra, right? And I like to think that in that moment, Jesus wasn't saying, go therefore and every now and then let people know that you attend church on a Sunday. Or go forth and post scriptures on Instagram so people might have questions about whether you go to church or not. Or go therefore and occasionally just tell people that you believe in Jesus. No, he says go forth and make disciples of the nations. He didn't say if you're in a good mood, why don't you tell somebody about Jesus? He said, go forth and tell the nations about me. It's not a suggestion, it's a commandment, right? And as Christians, I reckon personally, I think it should actually come pretty naturally to us to be able to share the gospel. I think about whenever something amazing happens in my life, I can't wait to tell people. I remember when Jess was pregnant with our first child, Matthew, and I couldn't wait. I think I spent about 4 hours on the phone just calling people who I knew and saying, hey, we're pregnant, we're having a kid. And then some people take it further than that. They make like short films and post on Instagram with like gender reveal parties and all this other stuff. And just, it's not a short film festival. You're just having a baby. It's all right. Right? When something exciting happens in your life that changes your life, you can't help but tell those around you. As Christians, shouldn't it not come naturally for us to want to share the gospel? I know for me, my life has been changed so much by what God's done in my life. And yet for so long in my Christian journey, I was happy just to sit back and not share the great news that has happened to me. The gospel should be no different to something amazing happen in your life where you just want to go out and share it with people. We should have an urgency and excitement to share the gospel. In Luke 4, verses 43, it says, but he said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. How do we go from sharing our faith as a suggestion to sharing our faith as a necessity? It says in Luke there, to share the good news. How do we go from just it being news in our life to sharing the good news that we just have to get it out, that I can't contain any longer how excited I am about what God's doing in my life, that I have to share it with other people. And Pastor Dan spoke about this morning a bit, about why do we need to share the gospel? Well, we read in the Bible, you're going to tell me, because we read in the Bible, it says that it's a commandment from Jesus. The truth of the matter is, why do we need to share the gospel with people? It's because people need Jesus. People need Jesus. People outside of this room need Jesus. People at your workplace need Jesus. People in your family need Jesus. Your mom needs Jesus, right? We all need Jesus. Everybody, more than anything in the world, needs Jesus. The people that you love the most, they need Jesus. And so when we talk about sharing the gospel, we need to change our thinking from we're just creating a great moment on a Sunday, a great experience on a Sunday to... No, people need Jesus more than anything in the world. It's not about just gathering together and having a fun kumbaya moment. People need Jesus more than anything in the world. And when we can change that mindset to actually people need Jesus, it's not just about getting to church on a Sunday, but people actually need Jesus. The way that we share the gospel changes everything from that moment forward. And so I'm going to share tonight a couple of different things. We're going to talk about tonight about sharing our faith. And at the end, we're going to talk about how do we actually do that? How do we witness to those around us? How do we share the gospel to those around us? And so, but I want to start with what stops us from sharing the gospel. And so I've got a couple of, I've just called them evangelism myths. We'll go with that. So why don't we share? What stops us from sharing the gospel? So a couple of evangelism myths. Number one is they don't want to hear it. We too easily believe the lie that if we share how Christ has impacted our lives, that people are going to reject us or that people are going to don't want to hear it, don't want nothing to do with it. And to be honest, sometimes that happens. On occasions, that's happened. But the truth is, people are actually more hungry to meet Jesus than we know. I'll tell you this story. I was at a coffee shop having a coffee. Every Saturday morning, I go out for a coffee. Just quickly, does anybody else own a coffee machine at home and still go out for coffee? Yeah, I do. I get a machine at home and every Saturday morning I still go out and pay somebody else to make me a coffee that I could have done at home. Anyway, I go to this cafe yesterday morning. It's the same one I go to every Saturday morning. And there's the two baristas, the guys who own the shop there, their names Amy and Alistair. And they're awesome. They make a great cup of coffee. And this Saturday morning, they come rushing out to me to meet me out the front of the cafe when I park my car. And they're super excited. And they said, "Ray, we've been so excited for you to come in this morning. We've just got some amazing news to tell you." And here I am thinking, I've won some kind of raffle and I'm getting free coffee for the rest of my life. I'm so pumped up for this news. And Amy says, "We got engaged over the week." And I'm like, "Cool." You gotta understand, these guys are my baristas. They're not my friends. They're my baristas. It's not like I'm calling them saying, "Hey, how's your relationship going? Hey, you guys are not married yet. Come on." But they're coming. They're like, "We just got engaged and we needed to tell you. We've just been waiting all week for you to come in so we could tell you that we got engaged." I'm like, "Oh, that's pretty cool. That's." And I was a bit confused. And I'm like, because we know that you're a pastor. And I'm like, and then I'm getting even more confused. I'm like, "So you need to like confess your undying love to pastors when you get engaged?" I was a bit confused still. And then like, no, we wanted to talk to you about how would Jesus do marriage?" And I'm like, "Right, okay, I didn't know, do you guys go to church?" They're like, "No, but we see what kind of guy that you are and how your wife and your kids are, and we just, one day we might want to go to church, and so we just want to do that things right." I'm like, and I remember walking away from that going, "Man, these guys were just, they don't even know it, but they're hungry for God. They're hungry for the presence of God." There's actually a guy in our church who's been coming for a couple of months now. He hasn't said yes to Jesus yet, but he's been at church every single week. He comes to Grow Group every single week. He's the first guy there, the last guy to leave. He's got so many questions. And this guy's not said yes to Jesus yet. And I was talking to him about this the other day. I said, "Why do you keep coming back? Like, you haven't made the decision yet. What's going on in your heart?" And he said, I'm not sure if I believe yet, but I'm just hungry to learn more." You see, as humans, we were designed to be in relationship with Jesus. Whether we know it or not, we were designed to be in relationship with Jesus. And so when we sit back and we say that, "Oh, they might not want to hear what we have to say," can I tell you right now, people are more open to the gospel than you think. People are more open to hearing the word of God than you think, because we were always designed to be in relationship with Jesus. The biggest thing that as Christians we can do when we're evangelizing is say no to people. And when we say no to people, maybe we say no to their opportunity from hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, people are so much more open to the gospel than we think. We were designed to be in relationship with Jesus. People are more hungry than you think. Number two, the next myth is that somebody else will do it. I don't have to do it because someone else is going to do it. See, one reason we might have for not sharing our faith is that we're just going to wait for somebody else to do it, right? There's always somebody else in their life to do it. I've known that's true for me in my life. You would have heard me say before, I'm the youngest of five boys, and my poor mother. I'm the youngest of five boys, and two of my brothers don't yet know Jesus. They grew up in a Christian home, but they're not currently walking. And I pray for my brothers every single night. And one brother in particular, his name is Derek. He lives in the UK, and he's got a beautiful two kids and a wife over there, and they live an awesome life over there. And we pray for them every single night. I pray that they'll find Jesus every single night. And I remember about 6 months ago, I remember getting the Holy Spirit really convicting me in the heart, saying, "You're praying for them to get saved, but you never talk to them about me." And I was like, "Oh, that one hurts," because I'm a pastor, right? And it's my brother, and I won't share the gospel with him, because, do you know why? A bit of honesty moment. I'm like, he's across the other side of the world. Someone else will do that. I'll just pray, right? And too often, people will miss the opportunity to hear the gospel because we're always waiting for somebody else to do it. Somebody else will do it. I don't want the risk of being embarrassed. I don't want to break hurt a relationship or a friendship. Somebody else can do it, right? And I'll be there when they come to know Jesus. Romans 1 verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." How many people in our lives haven't heard the good news because we're waiting for somebody else? Can you imagine if I'm waiting for Dan to share the gospel with somebody and Dan's waiting for me to do the same thing? There's a lot of waiting and there's no action happening. If we think about what we said before about how people need Jesus, it's time to start taking responsibility. It's time to stop saying somebody else will do it, and let's take responsibility for the people in our lives, for the people in our workplace. See, waiting for somebody else might leave people never hearing the gospel. Romans 10, verses 14 and 15 says, "How then will they call on him how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed, and how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without somebody preaching? And how are they to preach unless they have been sent? It sounds like a Dr. Seuss book a little bit, doesn't it? Like you know. But at the end of the day, what it's saying is, others will not know about Jesus unless we share it with them. Right? And then I know you're going to say the last bit, Ray, that gives us a bit of an out. It says, and they, how are they to preach unless they are sent? Well, you haven't got an out because we went back and it said, go forth and tell the disciples and make disciples of all the nations. You've been sent. You've been sent. From me to you, I'm just going to let you know, I spoke to Jesus earlier. You've been sent, right? So stop waiting for somebody else to do it and start taking responsibility for the call of God on your life to share the good news to those who are lost. Amen? I'm getting a bit excited tonight. Number three, another myth is, I don't know what to say. Now, so many people think that they have to be experts in theology or experts in the Bible before they can share faith. Or we think that if we mess it up, we're going to like embarrass ourselves. Or even worse, we might like ruin the chance for somebody to get saved because we've said the wrong thing. But I'm here to tell you tonight, the power is not in the messenger. The power is in the message. And Jesus is the message. Remember, in John 14, verses 6, it says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus, on the night before he is about to be crucified, he's meeting with his disciples and he's preparing them for what's to come, right? And he promises that he will send an advocate, the Holy Spirit, to them and to us to testify about Jesus Christ. And it says in John 15, 27, it says, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Jesus doesn't instruct the most educated guys in the world to start a religion. He simply says, go and tell others about me. Can I tell you right now, whether you've done 6 years of Bible college, whether you have a degree in theology, whether you've done ULA or not, I encourage you to do ULA, it's fantastic. Whether you've done all that stuff or not, it's not about what you say. It's not about if you've got the right words or not. Simply tell people about what Jesus has done in your life. See, he tells them to be witnesses to what they had experienced. And what was the result? Well, we see that God used their radical lives and their testimonies to grow his church. See, it's simple. Just share what God's done in your life. Who were you before meeting him and who are you now? It's not about having all the words. It's about sharing what God's done in your life. In Luke 12, verses 12, we have assurance. It says, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. See, in the moments where you don't know what to say, we can have that assurance the Holy Spirit will help you along that journey. And so we talked about some myths about sharing the gospel, and now I want to talk to you about what do we need to know? What do we know about telling others about Jesus? I know that's horrible grammar and I've written that wrong, but we're on the journey. Let's go. So I just said we don't have to have all the words, right? First of all, we must always have eyes and a heart that are open to opportunities. See, the first thing I'd tell you tonight is that we need to make sure that we have hearts that are open for the opportunities that God might bring across our paths. How often have you walked away from a conversation thinking, oh man, that was that moment I should have said something. I should have told them about, that someone's opened up their heart to you about something and you're like, oh yeah, that sucks. Watch Dr. Phil. Right? And you walk away and you're like, I forgot I was a Christian, right? Like, I know that's happened to me before. Maybe you've never had that happen to you. But we need to not just be open to opportunities, but we need to actually start looking for opportunities to be able to share the gospel. If we believe that people need Jesus, it's not just about having opportunities come past, but we actually need to be looking for those opportunities to be able to share the gospel. Now, I'm not talking about those weird people that we all know, some weird people who are like, every time you see them at work, they're like, hi, my brother in Christ, how art thou in the holy divinity, right? Or like, this is legit, I'm not even joking now, this is legit something I heard somebody say. We're out to dinner, and I know that you think I have crazy stories, that's okay, I'm not making this up. We're out to dinner somewhere, and the waiter asked, it was at a steakhouse at Hog's Breath. Do they have Hog's Breath down here? Yeah, so it was at Hog's Breath, and the waiter's going around asking everyone how they wanted their steak, and I'm like, oh, medium rare, and this other guy says, I'll have mine rare, thanks. The guy goes, yeah, no worries, and he goes, because I like a bit of blood in my steak, and that reminds me of the blood of Jesus Christ that was spilt for me, and I'm like, wearing yoga pants, because that was a bit of a stretch there, mate, but no, I'm not talking about being those weird guys who like, but what I'm saying is, when you've got somebody in your workplace who is opening up to you about how they're feeling lonely and they don't have hope, how about you share some of the hope that you have in Jesus Christ, right? we need to start seeing opportunities. How many times, I know that I used to do this a lot, so I'm put my hand up for everybody here. When somebody asks you, hey, Nate, what'd you get up to on the weekend? And you're like, oh, I just hung out with friends at a cafe. I'm like, oh, cool. You know well in your mind and your heart, you're going, I know I was at church, but technically I was with mates and technically I was in a cafe, so I'm not lying to them, right? Has anyone else done that? I've done that before. Like, Ray, what'd you get up to on the weekend? Oh, I just hung out with some friends. Oh, yeah, what did you do? Had coffee and sung some songs, right? Like, and you're really cryptic about it. But we need to start. How about we start instead of being so cryptic about our answers, we start speaking with conviction about what God's doing in our heart. So instead of saying, "Oh, you know, like, what did you do on the weekend?" Went to church. What was that? Just went to church. Oh, what? Like, speak with some conviction. How will those around us know about Jesus if we don't share with conviction? You see, when people ask these questions, what did you do on the weekend, or why did you go to church, or why do you go to church, it's actually people trying to make sense of why we believe what we believe and why we believe what they don't believe. And you never know what your answer might do in someone's life. All right, we've got this guy. We live in a fantastic complex in Kalanga. I know I haven't sold it to you, but trust me, it's a good place. And across our street in that complex is a guy. His name's Robbie. Who I remember about a month or two ago, I said to Jess, I said, I'm going to make friends with this guy. I'm going to get him. Like, I'm going to get him to church one day. And so we'd always had passing conversations. And then one time, because he kind of lives there and I live here, so I'd park my car, and then as I'm walking to the house, he would talk to me and vice versa. And then one time, we were both walking to our car at the same time. I thought, oh, I'll have a bit of a chat with him now. And I like to play this game that I like to call, guess what I do for a job, right? I love. Did you play that game, Dan? I play that game all the time. I love it. If you don't know my job, I work here at Church Unlimited. I'm a pastor here on staff. That's my job. And so I'm talking with Robbie, and I'm asking him. I'm like, hey, mate, what do you do for work? Because he's always out early and comes home late, and sometimes he's away for a couple of days. And he told me some really boring job, like he's a sales rep for a gas like strut company or something like that. It's fantastic, right? I'm like, oh, that sounds awesome, man. And he goes, what do you do for work? And I'm like, and in my head, I'm going, let's play the game. And I'm saying, what do you think I do for work? And he goes, oh, you're in the army, right? And I was like, why did you say that? And he goes, and his reasonings were fair. He said, you're from Townsville, fair. You got tattoos, fair. And you shave your head. I was one Commodore Ute away from being in the army, right? Right? And so I'm like, okay, fair, cool. And then he said, so what do you do? I said, have a guess, what do you do? And his next one was, oh, maybe like a tradie of some kind. I'm like, I'm the opposite to a tradie. Like, I can't fix nothing. I'm horrible. Anyway, and he goes, so what do you do? And I said, I'm a pastor. And then for the next like 30 seconds was like, he was sending Morse code to his friends, like beep, 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 beep. Are you serious? Beep, 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 right? Like, and because he just couldn't believe what I did. Anyway, and then he continued to kind of ask me, well, what kind of pastor are you? Like, what one do you do? Like, what, you know? And then so I began to explain. He goes, and so what does your church believe? And so I shared a bit about that. He goes, oh, cool. And then he walked off. And then yesterday after, 2 days ago, I was in the backyard. We're barbecuing, preparing for Pastor Dan and the family to come over. And I'm cooking, and he's walking by as we do, and we're having a chat over the fence. And I was a little bit annoyed about having the chat because our fence, all the paint is starting to like come off the fence. And so I'm in a black shirt. I'm leaning on the fence. I'm going, I don't watch stuff on my shirt here, mate, champion. We're having a talk anyway. And then I've been, you got another thing you got to understand, for the last month or so, I've been trying to find something in common with Robbie so I can invite him over and, hey, he'll come over and we'll do this and we'll da-da-da, so I can have a chance to talk to him. And I was like, my last resort is sport, right? I love sport. Most guys enjoy sport. And so that's why I can invite him over to watch some sport and we can have a beer together or something like that and we can connect there. And I said to him, I said, hey, I was just wondering, Robbie, do you like NRL? Because I watch a lot of NRL. I'd love to have you over sometime. Come and hang out and we'll have dinner together and hang out. And he goes, oh, nah, I'm not really into it. I'm like, oh, do you like sport at all? He goes, yeah, I like sport. I'm like, what kind of sport? He said, and he goes, oh, F1. Now, I thought that was just a button on a keyboard, right? Like, that nobody ever presses, the F1. But apparently, it's a sport that no one ever watches either. So maybe that's why they called it F1. I don't know. And I was like, oh, fantastic. Oh, we've got so much in common. And then I felt in that moment, I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, stop trying to find something in common with him and just invite the guy over. And so I said, I know, right? I know. And I said to him, I said, oh, well, mate, it turns out we've got nothing in common. So how about next weekend you just come over for a beer and we'll hang out? He goes, all right, that sounds good. And so we're going to catch up anyway. But I don't know what fruit came out of that conversation. But man, I can't wait to see what God's going to do. I can't wait that as there was an opportunity and I just took that opportunity. I can't wait to see what God's going to do. Number two, another thing we need to know is that it is all about Jesus. Sharing the gospel is all about Jesus. Seems pretty simple, right? But have you ever invited somebody to church and they come to church and you feel like you are the next apostle to the nations because you've invited someone to church and they've come and you're like, I've arrived, Pastor James, give me the pulpit, I'm going to preach all day long. Has anyone invited someone to church and then you feel like $1 million, right? There was this lady who came into the cafe this week, actually, and she was talking about church and stuff, and I invited her to church. I don't think she came this morning, so I don't feel like $1 million right now. But you better believe when it happened, I was like, I went and told Chris. I'm like, Chris, I invited this lady to church. She's going to come. Dan, hey, Dan, there's this lady to church. I invited her to church. She's going to come on Sunday. Yeah. I felt amazing, right? And when they come to church, doesn't it do something in your faith? Like it stirs your spirit up. It's awesome, right? But sometimes we get caught up in that. We get caught up in the, what will this do for me? If this person comes to church, imagine how good I'm going to feel. Mate, you can't wait till I can tell Nate that I invited someone to church and they flipping came. Hey, Nate, have you done that? No, I have. They came to church, right? Or it's not about like, oh, maybe if I invite 10 people along to church and they come, then I'll get upgraded to business class in heaven or something like that, right? It's not about that. It's all about Jesus, right? It is all about Jesus. It's not about what we can get out of this, but it's about what can God do in this situation. It's not about how great I will feel, but about how good they're going to feel when they meet Jesus. You see, it's not about what we get out of it, but our motivation is not about what we can get, but our motivation should be about, man, I can't wait for this person to meet Jesus. And I don't care if I invite them to church and they come and I never see them, as long as they get an opportunity to meet Jesus. Our motivation should never be about us and about what we can get, but sharing the gospel, it's all about Jesus. It's all about him. Amen? Number three, we must not be surprised when we experience opposition from the enemy. See, if we think the enemy wants us to share the gospel, you're crazy, right? Like if you think that the enemy wants you to share the good news to your family, you're crazy. Like if we think that the enemy is pumped about what the church is doing, we're crazy. Just have to look around at all the regulations of you can't say this in schools, you can't say this in workplaces. The enemy is not pumped about us speaking about Jesus because he knows the power that that name holds, right? I don't know, this has happened to me. I don't know if you've noticed it, but I've noticed that you can talk to people about God all day long, right? And the minute you mention the name Jesus, people close up and people freak out and people get uncomfortable. It's almost like we've stepped onto a battlefield at that moment, right? Like, if we believe that the name of Jesus can heal the sick, if we believe that the name of Jesus can break down people's past hurt, if we believe the name of Jesus can set people free from years and years of abuse, you better believe that there's, if we believe there's power in that name, you better believe that the devil knows it too, and the devil doesn't want you to share that. Philippians 2 verses 10 to 11 says, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and earth and under the earth. If we believe that the name of Jesus is above every other name, the devil knows it too. And he's going to do everything he can to stop you from saying that name. It's kind of like the opposite of Harry Potter. Like, for the devil, Jesus is he who shall not be named, because he understands the power that is in the name of Jesus. Sharing your faith might not always be easy, and you'll probably have some opposition, but you can't let that stop you. The name of Jesus is above every other name. Acts 4 verses 12 says, I didn't give this one to you, lie, I'm sorry. Acts 4 verses 12 says, and there is salvation in no one else, no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which men can be saved. See, the name of Jesus is the only name that can save people and can set people free. And so you're right. When we share our faith, when we share the good news, there will be opposition. Because you better believe the devil's not pumped about you stepping out in faith. The devil's not pumped about you doing something awesome for God. See, we've talked a lot about how people need Jesus. And we need to share the good news. As Christians, we need to share the good news. My youth pastor, when I was a young fella, in high school a long time ago, probably before a lot of you were born. I was talking to somebody the other day and they were like, oh yeah, I graduated in 2014. And I was like, jeepers. Jeep, I won't tell you when I graduated. But my youth pastor, when I was back in school and youth, used to say to me, and I think it was just kind of just trying to get a reaction and try to get us to like get more people to come to youth on a Friday night. But he used to always say, he goes, if you don't tell your friends about Jesus, they're going to hell. I was like, oh, yes, sir. Come to youth, right? Like, and that's a confronting thought. It's not far from the truth. We've talked a lot tonight about people need Jesus. And church, I'm here to tell you tonight, it's time to stand up and take responsibility for those around us. I love coming to church on a Sunday. I do. I love it. I love being with my friends. I love worshiping. I love spending time in His presence. But it's time to step up and start sharing the gospel, not just living it. It's time to start bringing people to Jesus, not just pointing them to church. And so, and you're here tonight and you're wondering, how do I share the gospel, Ray? How do I share it? Well, there's this quote that you might have heard before. It says, preach the gospel at all times and when necessary, use words. See, how we live our lives is how we show God's love to people. One of the biggest witnesses is not just what we say, but it's how we live our lives, who we are not on a Sunday. We were called to live set apart, not doing what everybody else does. Who we are, how we live our lives is one of the biggest ways that we can be witnesses to those around us, how we can share the gospel. But the kicker is, sometimes being a good person just isn't enough. Sometimes you have to use words. I think about my brother. My brother knows I'm a good person. He knows what I do for work. He knows that I've got two amazing kids. He knows that I'm a pretty good person. He doesn't know Jesus. And so there's times where being a good person just isn't enough. We need to start using some words. And so something, a very practical tip for us is I want to encourage you, if you haven't already, build a testimony. Practice that testimony. It sounds so funny, like practicing your testimony. I've done that. I've written out my testimony, and I reckon that you should be able to tell your testimony in under 5 minutes, right? And I've practiced and I've written it out, and so and I want to share with you tonight what I did to build my testimony, to kind of help you build your testimony and how you can practice it out. Is that there's three simple things we need to think about: before, how, and now. Now that sounds like a Dr. Seuss book, right? How now, brown cow? Like, but before, how, and now, right? Before, simply tell what your life was like before you surrendered to Christ. What you were searching for before you came to know Jesus, and what motivated you to seek a change. The next one is how. How did you come to salvation in Jesus? Where were you? What people or problems influenced your decision? And then now, how has your life in Christ been made different? How has His forgiveness impacted you? So we talked about before, it's not about being a theologian or being the most read in the Bible. It's simply about sharing to people what God's done in your life. That is the biggest testimony of all. It's not about what you know. That's an old saying, it's not about what you know, it's about who you know. Right? This is our testimony. It's not about what you know, it's about who you know and about what He's done in your life. And so I want to encourage you, build a testimony. Practice that testimony. And we're going back to Matthew 28:19 we read before. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Would you stand with me tonight, church? See, my challenge to you tonight is, how can you tell others about Jesus more? How can you take responsibility for those in your life, those in your world, in your workplace? How can we go from sharing our faith as a great idea to a necessity of our lives as Christians? How can we go from thinking that, telling people that we may go to church, how do we go from that to mate, if I don't tell people about Jesus, they're never going to hear? How do we go from that point to a point where I can't help but just tell people about the good things that God's done in my life? And can I tell you now, it is a necessity that we need to do. Each and every one of us. It's not left up to Pastor Dan or Pastor James or any of the pastors at church. It's each and every one of us. Each and every one of us every day preaching the gospel to those around us. I wanted to finish tonight. It's a little bit different to what we would normally do, but I want to finish tonight with a bit of a sales pitch. On May the 16th, which is a Thursday night at 7 o'clock, sorry, I've even mucked it up. I think they've got a QR code up there live from this morning, brother. He'll find it. Someone will find it. It'll be up in 2 seconds. But Pastor Dan is running a workshop on how to share your faith. How can we share our faith better? And so I want to encourage you, get along to that. It's he tells me it'll be a 45-minute workshop because it's on Zoom and that's all they give you is 45 minutes. No, but because as a church, we understand in order for the church to grow, not just in numbers on a Sunday, but if in order for the gospel to get out to more people, we want to help equip people on how to do that. And so, look at that magic. Scan that QR code and make sure you register for that. Pastor Dan will be running that. You're not going to want to miss it. It's just going to be a workshop on how we can share our faith more effectively. And so get along to that. That's how we're going to finish tonight. I know it's a bit different. But before we go, I'm going to pray for us in a moment. But before we go, I just love the opportunity. We do this every single week because I'm convinced that people need Jesus, right? And so right now, I want to make an opportunity to pray for people here tonight. With every eye closed and every head bowed, you can bow your eyes as well. It's the same thing. With every head bowed and every eye closed. If that's you, if you're here tonight and I've been talking about sharing your faith, I've been talking about telling others about Jesus and you yourself are sitting here and you're like, I actually don't know Jesus. I actually don't know this person you're telling me to tell everybody else about. I would love the opportunity now to be able to pray with you. I'd love that opportunity now to be able to say that salvation prayer with you, that you might know him tonight, that you might have a moment of encounter with Jesus tonight so strong that everything changes. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed here tonight, if that's you, you want to make that decision that tonight, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to say yes to him. As every eye is closed right now, I'd like you just to give me a wave just so I can see who I'm praying for tonight. I'd love an opportunity to be able to pray with you. So if that is you tonight and you'd like to pray, would you pray that prayer? Would you just give me a quick little wave here tonight? I'd love to pray with you. If that's you here tonight and you're saying, I need to meet Jesus. I need to meet this person you're telling me I need to tell other people about. If that's you tonight, would you just give me a quick little wave? I'd love to take an opportunity to pray with you tonight. Awesome. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, God. Lord, that you would choose people like us, Father, to be a part of your story. God, I pray right now for each and every one of us here tonight, Lord, that you would give us the boldness, Father, to be able to step out more, Lord God, and to be able to share the good news, Father. God, that as each and every one of us, Father, tonight have experienced your amazing power at work in our own lives, God, Lord, that we would get a boldness, Lord, Father, God, a confidence, Father, to be able to share that with those around us, Lord. As we've talked about tonight, Lord, would you open our eyes to opportunities, Father, to be able to step out in faith more, Lord God, and also, Lord God, that we would look for those opportunities also, Father. Lord, that above all else tonight, Lord God, we know that your name is above every other name, Father. And we are just so thankful that we get to be a part of your story, God. We pray that you'd bless everybody as they leave here tonight, Father, that would get home safely, Lord God, and they would have a good week. In your mighty name, everybody said, amen, amen. Hey, well, be blessed as you go tonight. Remember, church, if we don't tell people about him, we're the church. If we don't tell people about him, who's gonna, right? I challenge you tonight. Go out, tell people about Jesus.
Thanks for joining us. We pray that you and your family are richly blessed by the love and grace of Jesus. If you're ever in the area, we would love for you to join us for Sunday worship.